go. You guys know where you are. Expert Talk. We're back again. Oh my goodness. And you came to hang out with me. I'm so excited. And you know I'm always excited about who our guests are. And today we have Chris Baten. Now you guys know, if you know me at all, I'm creative. But I'm hearing rumors that this guy may be more creative than me. So I want to know what that's all about. He's also going to talk about his business. And I believe I heard a rumor that his three-year-old, I started my first business at 10. Three-year-old started his first business already. I'm excited. I want to know more. You guys sit right there and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I told you who's coming. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Tigo, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to hanging out today.
I'm looking forward to hanging out as well because I've heard great things. A friend of ours is also your business partner, Sean Malone, Mr. Get It Done. He is your business partner, and it's my understanding that you're the one who really gets it done.
Well, hey, the first thing I can say is a phrase that has served me well in life: to accomplish something greater than yourself, it takes more than yourself. And in the last 5 years, Sean and even his wife, Melissa, we've been business partners the last 5 years. And I promise you, I'd have only been able to accomplish a fraction of what we have together in the last 5 years if it wasn't for both Sean and Melissa.
Now, before we get into this whole thing and talk about your business, you know, I got to ask about you. You know, were you creative as a child? I mean, when you were 5, 6, 7 years old, were you playing softball or were you planning on taking over the world?
It's been world domination since I was, you know, out of the womb. I'm rappelling down the umbilical cord. I'm on a for me growing up, it's been very heavy in sports and martial arts. You know, five-year-old Chris saw the coolest person in the world at that point, who was seven-year-old Jason. Jason was a first degree black belt and could kick above his head. And five-year-old Chris was like, now that is freaking cool. You know, I want to be like a movie star and all, you know, in all the action movies and stuff. So that's where my head was at. And I eventually, it took me 2 years, but I eventually got my first degree black belt when I was 7, went on to get my second degree when I was 8, and eventually went on and got my third degree. So there's always been kind of this element of performance in my world. It's been heavy sport. It wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I started self-identifying a little bit more with the creative side. And it started with this phrase and realization that entrepreneurs are nothing more than business artists. What's created from the heart is felt by the heart. A business is just a systematic way of delivering a product or service, but the experience that is created in the delivery of that product or service is the expression, is the art in business that us consumers never forget.
Wait, we have to go back, okay? We gotta go back, because you just went 7 years old. You can get a black belt. Now, I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, I'll admit it.
Yes.
I was the little kid in the theater that was falling down and you had to pick your feet up because it was so sticky back in the day,
yes,
you know,
yes,
with all the popcorn because they never cleaned it. Yeah, it was way before COVID, right? But yep. Humongous martial arts fan, humongous Bruce Lee fan, and never, ever, ever thought at 7 years old, there was a person walking around with a black belt. For real?
Yeah, true story. That's what I did 5, 6 days a week, and some of the work ethic that I learned from my mother and my father show up early and often was something that was ingrained in me from an early age.
So if you are, you know, if you're a mom or a dad right now and you've got a young person, and especially with everything going on with COVID, I mean, right now I tell everyone it's 2021. They may be watching this in 2048 and somebody's going, what the heck is COVID? I hope that's the case. But right now we're living in the middle of it, you know, and they're looking for something to put their children in to kind of take some of that energy and point it in a positive direction. Is that something you will have your children doing if they want to do it? And would you recommend it to others?
The martial art piece?
Yeah, the martial arts piece.
Oh, it's already begun. So I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, two boys, mm-hmm. and now a baby girl that's 4 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Never a dull moment over here. So my 4 and 3-year-old, I'm like, let's go. I mean, we've already been wrestling and hanging and climbing on all this stuff. I competed on American Ninja Warrior for 3 seasons, and my wife competed for a season. So we're a bunch of, like, you know, ninjas over here. My boys don't have a choice. I mean, they do, but they love it, right? So we end up doing this a lot. We've been to Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu. And you, like, they have to be a certain age. So, like, we've had a hard time finding a place we can stay. So we might end up going the gymnastics route for a year or so. And then we'll be in the gym for some martial arts for sure.
So what does that do for your confidence? One, humongous fan of American Ninja Warrior. We watch it all the time. I thought the way they handled COVID this year and did that was really neat. But how does that help with confidence? How does that help with controlling negative energy? What does martial arts do for you? Because it's not all about, you know, putting your head through a wall or breaking a board. There's a mission for it, correct?
100%. I think the combination between mental, emotional, and physical awareness it's so powerful. In fact, it changed the very directory of my life. Doing that in an early age, there is a point where I got up to a brown belt. And when you get to a brown belt, you start breaking boards. And I'm someone that struggles with self-confidence quite a bit, actually. And I was very timid as a kid. And I was so afraid that it was just going to hurt or breaking board. Very fortunate and blessed with great parents. My dad, what he did is he had me put my shoe on. And we would practice. And I eventually started practicing. Hear what I'm saying. Anyone listening, practicing confidence. And I made it easier, so it wasn't as scary. And eventually, I felt more confident to hit the board harder and harder. And then we took the shoe off, and there was the sock. And eventually, no sock. And I was able to break boards, you know, with all multiple different hand strikes and kick strikes. Those type of lessons earlier in life, learning to persevere and work through the fear. See, I learned that our emotions don't control us. They're very valuable to listen to and to be aware of. But we also still have the freedom and power to decide. And I mean, in terms of anything I've been able to do, that's been a huge lesson for me to excel.
You're a very creative person, your business partner. That's one of the first things he said. Oh my God, Chris is so creative. You know, when did you decide that this is the path you want to take? We're going to talk about your child that is 3. We're getting to that because that's an amazing story. But when did you figure out that you're going to take all this energy and everything that you're learning from martial arts and your creativity and point it towards the direction of being an entrepreneur and not being, you know, an upper executive creative director for some, you know, major Fortune 100 company?
Yeah. It's a great question. I'm just laughing over here because the first thought and the honest answer is I was in the process of trying to get married. And so my then girlfriend, I needed to make some money because the pitch of, hey, do you want to get married and live with my parents? That didn't go over so well, Tego.
No.
For the record, that was never the pitch. She was just like, come on. I was like, okay, look, the only option we have right now is to live with my parents if we're to, you know, live together and get married and do all that stuff. That wasn't going to go. So I'm starting to figure out, okay, well, how much money am I going to make? And I was like, and this is literally the process. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, $100,000 a year sounds good. That seems like a lot of money. And more than,
until,
you know,
taxes get hit and then you go, oh my God.
So there's evolutions of this learning curve, right? At the time, younger Chris, this is like a decade ago. I was like, 100 grand sounds like a good idea. And so I'm like, okay, well, I found 10 different ways to make 100 grand. Pick the one that I felt like I had the best shot of doing it. And it was a commission job, sales. I was like, wow, look at the potential for this. This looks great. And it was in the payment technology industry, credit card processing. So I was the guy that would go try to meet friends of the business owner, negotiate the rates, and make sure the system that you swipe your credit card worked and all that stuff. I knew nothing about that. And apparently, that was an insanely competitive marketplace. I felt like I was going to vomit every day for the first 8 months. I watched over 40 people come and go, Tigo. I was going to get fired the whole time. Now, here's the thing. In the second month, I'm working 60, 70 plus hours a week. Easy. At the end of that second month, guess how much I made?
200 grand.
$800.
Wait, a day?
No, for the whole month.
Okay. I'm guessing that did not become your career.
I learned something really important that month, Tigo.
Okay.
This is when you're like, well, Chris, like, why'd you go the business route? Well, it's like, well, I'm trying to get married. I got to make money. Well, how do I make money? I was like, I got into sales first because that seemed where, I mean, all the other jobs, I'm like, it just didn't fit me or my vision and where I saw myself. And so I go this route, but now I'm stuck at 2 months in thinking I feel terrible every day. I'm working harder. Like I've kind of been used to that pace, but for a while, but then I'm still, the return's not there. And I learned this. I learned I don't get paid to work. I get paid to produce results.
Yeah, especially in sales.
Right. And here's the thing. I get results by learning how to listen and serve other people. And the better that I get at that, and the more results I get other people, the more results I will to myself get. And that began to shape how I, and it's led me down this path of just continuing to solve larger and larger problems to where I've transformed, I guess, into a salesperson, into a CEO and a leader of multiple different countries or companies and different industries. Now, I still view myself as a salesperson. That's where I started. And guess what? I'm just not commission only for just myself anymore. Now I'm just commission only for more people along with Sean. And we're commission onlying together, figuring this thing out. Now, the huge part of this is where does creativity come in? And that was part of your question.
Yeah.
And it was absolute necessity because I went down this performance money model, get the job done results path, which is good, but it led me to a place in my life where I was just completely empty.
I can understand that. Yeah, I can understand that. So let me ask you something, because people, I'm a creative, you know, my dad used to say all the time, you know, everybody marches to a different drummer, but what dang band plays in your head? So I'm a super creative person, but a lot of people, when you say you're a creative, they think you're, you know, playing with paint or sand in a back room somewhere. And that's what creative is. Can you define creativity in your world?
Yeah. And I think this is really powerful because how somebody identifies with and connects with creativity is really powerful. And I would say and admit that I probably connect to it in an unusual way, but it goes along with this phrase that I've mentioned is entrepreneurs are just business artists. And my artwork is creating what I like to call the natural buying experience.
Wow.
And it's not just selling a product or service for money. If that's your plan, it's not a good long-term plan. It's not good enough. It's not full enough. But if you have a plan that incorporates the mental, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, and the financial, you have a whole plan to where you'll actually be able to make more and go places you never thought you'd go, meet people you never thought you'd meet, because I don't know how else to articulate other than it's whole. Just like an artist, I didn't paint this, by the way. I just think it's awesome. but it's part of, it reminds me to be present and be courageous.
Love it.
And it's art. And from that art, and it's beautiful. Well, thank you. and on behalf of the artist that made it. And so, but this artwork like speaks to me. It's an expression, and it enriches my life. And there's products and services that we've already all bought, whether it's literal artwork or it's CDs and music or it's movies, that type of artwork that impact our life. And businesses are no different. They just deliver a slightly different product or service, and it's wildly creative. All the problems they have to solve and the experience they attach to all of that is, I would like to argue, is very, very important. And when us business owners and leaders start approaching it with that type of expression, our connection to what we do and a connection to the customers that we have and build and create, it's cyclical. It's like it fills us up even more.
Yeah.
If you, Tigo, if you or anyone listening has ever felt like what you put into your business, you put so much in and you feel like you never get back what you feel you deserve. When you start bringing the art and the expression, what's created from the heart, felt by the heart, and this isn't just fluffy, whatever stuff, this is stuff that has like saved my life personally. When you start bringing this in, what's crazy is what you put into your business, you start getting back tenfold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And now you have you're like, oh my gosh, I do this. Like, this is crazy. I get to do this and all this comes back. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you want to do more. And then you start getting more. And now you have this healthy cycle that actually has the strength and energy to grow. And it's bigger than yourself.
You know, before we go to break, because we got to go to break.
But, that was a lot. You know, that was a lot.
The networks. We do
need a water break.
Go to break. But before we go to break, we have to address, and go ahead and have your water break, but we have to address that 3-year-old thing that I mentioned in the open. You know, you got a child that is 3 years old that is already the captain of his industry. We got to talk about that, but I want to ask a question first. And the question is, I've been asked, when is too young to start a business? Because I started my first business when I was 10. And now I used to think I was cutting edge with your son. I feel like I was behind the eight ball or something. And then when is too old? Because people are finding themselves displaced and restarting and all of that. And they have so much more to give, but they're going, I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 60s. It's too late for me. So when is too young? When is too old? Or is there not a rule in your world about when you can get started? With your
Tigo, I think you shared a very powerful phrase in asking that question, and the essence of it is, when's too young, when is too old, and I think it's this is something I remind myself of, and I hope every listener hears what I'm saying right now, what I'm about to say right now, just to be very clear, you are not saying this, but I know. Going through this experience of building a business with my 3-year-old who's now 4, and I do have a 3-year-old, so I have a 4 and a 3-year-old, and they're both running their business making $30 a month. They work one day a month.
Wow.
Now, that said, all of us have faced the challenges that we faced in building this business, and here's what it is. It's that spirit, or it's that person, or those words and phrases, or those ideologies that says, you are too young. You are too old. You are too smart. You're too stupid. You're too rich. You're too poor. You're too this. You're too that. Whatever that voice is, or wherever that comes from, whatever your worldviews are on that, it's garbage. And throw it out the damn window.
Love it.
KFC, Mr. Colonel Sanders was 67 when he brought his chicken recipe to the world, and he started it next to a freeway, and he had a couple stools, and he got to work and built one of the world's largest franchises. I'd like to argue that it's more about the inspiration when it hits somebody, man, that's the artwork. It's like, let's follow that. There's a huge element of grace. There's a huge element of faith in stepping out and just taking it step by step. And so for little Emmett, who comes bursting in the door filled with the new revelation, he's like, Dad, I was like, what's going on? He's like, I want to get a toy. I was like, oh, okay. So much energy around getting a toy. And he's like, can we go get one? I said, I match his energy. I was like, of course we could go get a toy. He's like, can we go right now? I said, yes, we can, but we need money.
Ah.
And he's like, well, money, how do I get money? I was like, oh, that's simple. You just solve problems for other people and then they give you money. And he literally asked my three-year-old, like he looks back at me. He's like, well, how do I solve problems for other people? I didn't have an answer for that, Tico. I was like, I don't know how a three-year-old solves all their problems for other people. So I had to think about that one. But here's the thing. I was not going to be the parent. The words that I speak over my kids today is their inner voice tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They will never be too young for me to start telling them that they're too young. I don't know that they ever need to learn. They're not going to learn that lesson from me. And so I'm like, okay, so fighting that temptation, I'm like, okay, just give me, I got to think about this for a second because I got some objections to overcome.
Right.
And so we were faced with that as a family. Later that day, we're trying to go run errands and we could not find our keys for the life of us. Like, it was like, we got to go. The kids are going all crazy. Like, it's just one of those situations. And randomly, I see this image of this giant keychain. And I was like, man, if we had a big keychain, there's no way we'd lose our stupid keys. In a flash, it's random. I know, that's the creativity part of me, I guess. Has random image in my head. And I was like, hey, Emmett, because he felt the problem we were having. It's right. A great place to start solving just your own problems. So I was like, hey, Emmett, what if we made big keychains for other people so they wouldn't lose their keys? Like we lost our keys. He's like, yeah, like he's just ready for the toy thing, right? So we skip the errand. He ends up, and I got pictures of all this. I didn't know it was going to be a thing, but he starts making, my wife is like the total creative, like musician, singer. She's got like this leather making kit. I was like, of course you have a leather making kit. So has this big leather thing. She's helping him cut it out. He starts painting it. We put the key ring on there. And I was like, man, this kid's just doing this thing. I was like, I guess we need to get a pitch. So we're working a pitch together and we got it down to, I'm Emmett and I help people not lose their keys. And then he shows them the big keychain. That's it.
I love
sometimes it. Sometimes we forget about how simple business and how fun it can be. And he goes out there and there's a lot more to the story. I don't know how much time we have to today, but he eventually.
Oh, you're coming back. And I'm hoping okay. Emmett's coming too.
We should have Emmett out. He'd do great. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's wow. That's so cool. I can't wait to see what Emmett's doing at 13 and 25, you know, because he had
that makes
such
two of
a
us,
great
Diego.
Start. You know, what a great way to get started. Now, I know there are people out there watching and they're going, okay, he's a creative. He's running a business. You said he gets it done like Sean does and they're business partners. So what do they do? So what we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to find out exactly how Chris uses his creativity to not only change his life and his family's life, but maybe your life too. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Hey, I have a quick question for you. Do you want a professional agency to handle all your video creation, syndication, and monetization needs? We totally understand that new leads and customers are the lifeblood for any business. And if you're looking to grow or scale your business, using video is definitely the best way to go. Here at Melrose 11, we specialize in getting you the results you need to help you grow your business by generating new leads, driving more traffic, and closing more sales without breaking your bank. Did you know, according to HubSpot, having a well-targeted video on your landing page can increase conversions by up to 80%? Yeah, and up to 64% of users are more likely to buy a product online after watching video than by text alone. And that 92% of mobile users share videos with others. And 90% of users say that videos are helpful in their purchase decision making. Incorporating video into your marketing and social media activity is no longer an option, it's an absolute requirement if you're looking for long-term success. Heck, it may even be essential for the very survival of a business. Here at Melrose 11, media truly is our passion. We create animated explainer videos, social teasers, catchy intros, full HD commercials, and even viewer interactive videos. So, if you're looking to elevate your brand, or attract more leads, generate more sales, increase traffic, or build up more exposure for your business, then you've definitely come to the right place. Our professional team will develop your video campaigns at an affordable price, with our fast turnaround times, and a quality of work that can't be beat. We look forward to working with you.
All right, you guys, you've waited long enough. I know I've waited long enough. I want to know, how does Chris use creativity? What's creativity got to do with sales and building your business? And, you know, does he use these magical things with his son's business too? Hey, Chris, what's going on? What do you do? What's the name of your business? Go.
Go. Well, I'm the CEO and co-founder of The Sales Ascenders. And simply put, we're a sales agency. And we build sales departments and all things that would happen within a sales department.
Okay. And that means?
And that, so for example, if it's hiring, onboarding, and training sales professionals, we have our own sales ascension method. So how to run a perfect sales call. There's 7 steps to that. And it works for all sales conversations and cycles. And that, really, that was created for, I've been commission only or own and operated my own business for the last 10 years of my life. That's how I've survived. Mm-hmm. And Sean, my business partner, he's been doing it for 20. So a collective 30 years there. We've been in B2B, business to business, or business to B2C, business to consumer. The last 5 years, I've built 3 different companies in 3 different industries that have all done 7 figures or more. And so, the principle, I didn't start, you know, I don't come from a heavy entrepreneur family. These were skill sets, business skill sets that I needed to learn over a decade. And I built them based off of principles and certain values. And like you were alluding to with my son, while they do work great for, you know, 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure businesses, we haven't really touched too much of the 9-figure. That's beyond me at this point, just to be completely honest. But I can't speak to that yet. but in my journey so far, they work in complex working environments, but they're mm-hmm. also so simple. And they're also so powerful that even my 3- and 4-year-old are able to apply these. And so in starting their business, they had to go door to door, and they didn't go to friends and family. No. I made them go to people that we've never met before. You're like, Chris, man, like, what kind of drill sergeant dad are you? I was like, listen, I didn't make up the world. That's how the world is. So it's like, how long are we going to play this game where, you know, I'm like, no, I, you know, let's get out there. Let's get to work, but I'll be here to support you. And I'll be here to walk you through the process. And I think a really powerful point to kind of hit on one of these principles would be rejection management. Is that one a good one to go into?
Yeah, let's go. I'm with you.
So little Emmett, he goes up to the first door, knock, knock, knock. No one answers. Okay. He gets back in his wagon. We go to the next one, knock, 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 no answer. A little bit slower. He gets in his wagon. We go to the next one, knock, 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 and no one answers. Stego, 3 in a row. And you see his little shoulders kind of slumped down. I was like, you know what, Emmett, let's just try one more. And if not, we'll go home. He's like, okay. So we go to the next one and knock, 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 and the door creaks. And he starts to get a little excited, and he's, you know, 5 feet or so from the door. And then the person comes out and he delivers his pitch. And he says, I'm Emmett, and I help people not lose their keys. And he shows them the large keychain that he just made. He makes big keychains so people don't lose their keys. Very simple problem. And Tego, he nailed it. So good. Great delivery.
Well, of course he did.
here's the thing. And the person, the homeowner, looks at him, looks at the key, looks back at him, and says, well, I'm Jim, and no thanks. I was like, you heartless monster. Like, he nailed it. What's wrong? Now, here's the thing. I'm on the sideline, so to speak, right? Like, I see mm-hmm. Emmett here, and I see Mr. Jim here. And he sends this message to my son. And before that rejection hits my son, I gasp. I was like, And Emmett gets distracted, and he looks at me, and I said, Emmett, did you hear what Mr. Jim said? He's like, no, what did he say? I said, he doesn't have a problem losing his keys, so we can just go find someone else that does. And he said, okay. And he jumps in to his wagon. And then this is the part that wrecked me. So like, there's a couple more points on just the rejection thing of all what just happened there. But as we walk away, he looks over his left shoulder and he waves with his right hand. And he says, bye, Mr. Jim, have a great day. And why that hit me so hard was, it's easy to love those that love us.
Yeah.
But learning to love those that even reject us is a whole different character builder. And so there's rejection management. You know, after a while, when you face enough rejection, even me, after all the sales I've done and rejection that I faced, it still wears on me to some level. I don't know that you ever stop feeling that or ever get over it. If you're honest with yourself, it does affect us in all ways. Now, you do grow some endurance and different perspective that helps you get through more than maybe most. And I wanted to share that some of that with Emmett, that principle, because now he knows that, oh, like, this isn't failure. He didn't rethink his product. He didn't start crying or go home. He learned, oh, okay, we just move on to the next one. Man, can you imagine, Tego, if you and I maybe, I mean, you started really young, but you know, for most of us, right? I mean, to I'm learn that earlier in
thinking,
life.
Yeah, or anywhere in life, because I'm sitting here thinking about how many people don't even start because they're afraid they're going to get rejected. You know, when I try to teach people that no can be your best friend because you know it's one more step closer to yes, everybody's not going to say yes to you. But people are so scared to even start because it may not fit, or somebody may say no, or they might go on social media and say something bad about you behind their keyboard. Oh yeah, tough guy behind their keyboard.
Yeah, keyboard courage. They don't, I've heard of that.
You know, that they don't even get started. So when I hear this, it's like, think of the foundation that this young man has when he gets to be an adult, when he's teaching his children. You know, I just interviewed someone who's gonna be on the show a little bit later in the week that talked about generational wealth. And one of the things that they've got to have is understand that, you know, you're going to run into things like that. People are going to say no, you know, and if you can take that as a positive, thank you for that no, because I can move forward now because I know I'm closer to yes, that's huge. But I know so many people that will not even, they hate their job. They hate their, maybe their relationship. They hate the structure of their life, period, but they won't change it because what's on the other side of that door is unknown. And they'd rather stick with something they cannot stand that they know than take a chance of being rejected on the other side of the door on something they don't know. So listening to this makes me go, whoa. And it also makes me realize that, or people I tell you all the time, they do so much structure on their business. You know, they make sure it's structured well, but they don't even budget for marketing. They dang sure don't budget for how they're going to sell this thing. You know, who's your customer? How are you going to sell it? They go, huh? You know, because they think they can just put it up on Facebook and they're going to be a millionaire.
That doesn't work.
Nah, sorry. Not unless you're spending $1 million and you might make $1 million, but no. So how does this structure in your business, how do you help other potential customers see that they have a need for what you're offering and that it becomes a major part of their foundation to grow?
People come to us when they need sales. If you're not selling the way that you feel you should be selling, you want to be selling, you're not selling at all. If your sales team, you can sell, but your sales team isn't selling the way that you know they should be selling. You know, like, yeah, if your calendar's empty, if it's Sunday night and you're looking at your calendar for next week and you're like, I don't know where, like, we have nothing booked. Your sales activity is down. I mean, those are very clear indicators that are very easy problems to fix. And for a lot of business owners and leaders, you know, they know it's possible, but there's so much self-doubt and discouragement because they're in the middle of it. They're both in their business and trying to desperately work on it whenever they can. And they just don't know where to start or when it's going to turn around and don't have a plan. I mean, this is this is our space, this is where we've been playing. We're really good at creating messes. We need to partner with integrators and operators to keep us from breaking we can keep expanding our capacity. And those are a couple indicators.
So I know I have to let you get out of here pretty soon. And I want to thank you for fitting me into your schedule because you're a super, super busy guy. You're also really cool. And I always love talking to other creatives. But I got to ask, who's your perfect customer? Who out there that's watching right now will say, man, I got to call Chris and Sean. They're exactly what I'm looking for. Can you tell me who your perfect customer is?
Absolutely. Agency owners, businesses that provide other services for businesses. Primarily, if you're a business that serves other businesses, so you're B2B, you're a great fit for us. Coaches, consultants, authors, publishers. These are usually agency type models that are charging at least, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 or more for your offering, or maybe it's, you know, a certain amount per month, but it equals more than $3,000 or $5,000 over the course of the year for the lifetime value of that customer, or even just the year value of that customer. That all said, those are great fits for us. And what we do a great job at is implementing prospecting teams and systems to increase qualified calls, 10 to 25 plus qualified calls per week, with an extremely, insanely low cost per acquisition. Hopefully I'm not going too jargon on everyone, but if I'm talking to the right person, you know what I'm saying. And if you want to spend less to acquire new, great, ideal customers, we're a good fit.
Yeah. If he's talking to the right customer, you know what he's saying. If you're in business and you don't know what he's saying, you need to know what he's saying, because you need this to grow your business. Now, I know that everybody's going virtual because we have to right now, but your customer, your perfect customer, do they have to be in your state, in your country, or can they come from anywhere in the world?
Great question. Part of, and we've been online and or global for the last almost 5 years now. So, you know, we work with people all over the world.
Okay. And is there like a limit? You know, they need to have 5 employees, 50 employees. They're a solopreneur working in their basement, but they're cranking out $500,000 a year. You know, is there a certain limit that you look for?
In terms of team size, no. We work with some solo entrepreneurs. You know, I think a ideal target is a business that's doing probably $500,000 to $2 or $3 million per year with their business. We do have, we can serve, we have other products and services, even all the way down to being free, you know, to start consuming our content. And we solve one problem, Tigo. We solve one problem. We help other people talk to other people. We're really good at. I mean, it's really that simple, whether it's chat or it's on Zoom. We understand the psychology of the buying process extremely well, from a mental, emotional standpoint, persuasion, influence, NLP, all those things. We've tested, experienced, and done. You know how we got good at, you know how you get really good at sales? Just do more than 10,000 calls. That's it.
That's easy.
That's what I'm saying. So I kind of joke with people is like, we, you know, I can't, for the last 10 years, every week I've done, you know, like, I don't know how many, I've just talked to a lot of people. And so Sean and I, people come to us for confidence, for accountability, for speed, certainly for increasing revenue. We're really good at even working with businesses to say, hey, here's why the market's not buying this. If we look at some of the competitors and the price point and your offering and how you're presenting yourself, that's why this isn't converting. And so it becomes an art and a science. And usually if you're doing at least 300, 500,000 a year in revenue for the business or more, that's ideal. Although we do have some, you know, free content and tools that people can still use to continue to grow.
That's really, really cool. So before I let you go, how do they find you? How do they get in touch with you? Because you guys know, don't call Tigo. Tigo's not going to give you Chris's number. Chris is going to tell you how to get in touch with him, because see, if I give you Chris's number, then Chris's wife's going to be like, what the heck did you do? So how do they get in touch with you?
But if you want to get my attention, I'm still accessible. Please friend me on Facebook and just send me a message. And when you send that message, say expert talk. And we'll all know, and our team will know exactly where you're coming from. And if there's, you can let us know where you're at. And money's not a thing. Like, we can focus and serve you and meet you where you're at. So don't hesitate at all.
Before I let you go, if you were to address the word fear, because I can see people going, I really want to reach out to Chris, but I don't think I'm quite ready. Or maybe my business hasn't grown enough. Or yeah, I got the right income coming in, but I still don't think we're quite ready for somebody like Chris. How would you address the word fear?
I would say the type of fear you're describing, I would label as the unhealthy fear, and put that aside and put the hesitation aside and take activity creates competency. Take action, do work, get results. And so for us, I can confidently say for Sean and I, there's nothing you need to be afraid of. Our type of conversations of work is very clear. Anyone that works with us makes more money. And so, you know, if you'd want to wait to make more money, then don't reach out. And I know it's really just kind of that simple. That's a completely genuine statement. I mean that here, when we bring a new product or service or company to market, the first thing we do before we even start building it is we go talk and ask the market, hey, what's the pain and problems that you're experiencing right now? And we just listen. We do like 40 plus interviews. We identify the top problems. And then we say, hey, if we solve this in this way, would that be interesting? And how much is that worth to you? They actually do all the work. And then we start selling. And then we start. My point is, it starts with revenue. If you're sitting and you're stuck by yourself thinking like, well, who's my perfect person? I'm not sure. And I don't feel ready. You need us and we need to start in a free process of just going to do market research and talk to the market. They will in 24 hours, maybe you've been stuck for months. In 24 hours, that can be unlocked and you'll have all the answers to the test and you'll be so excited.
Wow. That's amazing. I want to thank you, sir, for coming on. I want to thank you for being a guest. I hope you come back again because I love hanging out with other creatives. And I love the way you guys, you know, you and Sean and Melissa, you know, address everything, including, and you're already sharing it with your own family. You know, I think that's fantastic. You, sir, are amazing.
Well, thank you so much, Diego. I appreciate the kind words.
Hey, you guys, you know how we do. This is Expert Talk. I hope you enjoy, Chris. I learned a lot, and my mother said I came here selling, and you don't have any idea how valuable it is to have someone like Chris and Sean having your back and going, this is the way to blaze this trail and increase your revenue in your business. Because you guys know what I say, if you're not making money with your business, it's a hobby. Let's stop making it a hobby, start making it a business. I thank you for watching the show. I hope you come back next week. And as always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.